Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.
If you need to know the law to advance your career in human resources, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, we offer a career-defining Master of Legal Studies in HR and Employment Law Policy and Management to help non-lawyers like you navigate the complex HR legal issues every industry faces. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your HR career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
You're not going to hear a lot of Republicans doing what I think conservative talk show hosts are going to be doing for quite some time. And that's the post-mortem on the 2022 midterm elections. You're just not going to hear it. I think one of the hallmarks of the Republican Party is we suck, we know it, and we don't want to solve it. We're quite happy with our downward trend. We're quite happy with playing down to the Democrats' level as they go more totalitarian, easy for me to say. As they go down that road, it's just easy for us Republicans to lower the bar rather than elevate the bar. And I think that's what we're seeing guys like Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and Lisa Murkowski and some of the retiring folks out of Congress that we've seen, like Jeff Flake and Kinsinger and Liz Cheney, although she might run as a Democrat for all I know. But I think what you're going to see is a hesitancy of the Republican leadership to reevaluate what they've been doing, because I think this is the plan. The lackluster performance in the midterms is kind of the plan. It's kind of like saying, oh, Democrats are going socialistic, so how do we meet them halfway? If Democrats were just kind of like, left-leaning but still believing in the Constitution, the Republicans would be jonesing to meet them halfway. So now that they're going, I mean, pretty soon when the Democrats go communist, the Republicans will be like, yeah, let's meet them halfway. And I'm sorry, that just doesn't meet this conservative's agenda. I don't want to meet them halfway. I want to defeat them. I don't want my rights and my liberties and my prosperity frittered away and bargained away because Republicans prize getting along with Democrats more than they prize delivering for their constituents. I'm just not there. A two-party system exists and is successful if you have competing ideas. We don't have competing ideas right now. You've got Republicans now that say, well, it's meritorious to vote for Democrats. It's meritorious to support Democrats. How the hell, as a conservative, am I supposed to elect and support that? I just don't. And the fact that so many Republicans out there are, oh, well, that's Mitch McConnell. Oh, well, that's Lisa Murkowski. Oh, well, that's Liz Cheney. Oh, well, that's Chaim Kinsinger or what's his name, Ben Sasse or whoever the hell. The Republican leadership is acting as if the years since Barack Hussein Obama have not taken place. They seem to think, or at least they want us to think, oh, these are just the same good old-fashioned Democrats. You know, we Democrats, Republicans, we all believe in being America, and it's just a matter of how to get there. We have different ways of how to get there. No, this is not your grandpa's and your grandma's Democrat Party. They're socialists. They're Marxists. Look at what's happening in the popular culture. Look at what's happening inside the Democrat Party. They're openly now advocating for the elimination of semi-automatic weapons. By the way, that's everything. You know, handgun is semi-automatic. Rifles are semi-automatic. So they're looking. Joe Biden is out there saying he sees no redeeming value, in essence, to the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, which guarantees our right of self-defense. Now, unless you're John Cornyn, another of those Republicans, how the hell do you say, well, you know what, let me just meet you halfway? How can we meet you halfway? And I'm sorry, this boogeyman of just blame Trump, it's getting really old. It's getting really tired. The Democrats screw things up. They blame Trump. The Republicans screw things up by being pro-Democrat. They blame Trump. I'm just sick and tired of all the excuses. It's just, will somebody stand up and tell the truth about what's really going on? And here's what I think the truth is. The party leadership, the Democrat Party and their leadership are right in line with each other. And the Republican leadership is with them. So it's we the people, some conservative boll weevils, against the entirety of the establishment in Washington, D.C. And I think that's the reality. You've got this go along to get along, this compromise mentality of the leadership of the Republican Party that is all too willing to flush the Constitution and its protections down the toilet. For goodness knows what, I think it might be as simple as just for profit for China, from China. I think that's about as basic as it is. And so that's why the American people are made to suffer. And that's why a red wave never materialized, instead became the red fizzle. Because you got a bunch of these milquetoast Republicans who really aren't into opposing their good friends, the Democrats. They've just been part of this dog and pony show that, frankly, people like me are no longer interested in participating in because real people are getting really hurt. And I'm just sick and tired of it. So these postmortems, I think, you're only going to find on talk radio and conservative podcasts, those who are willing to examine what the hell has happened to the Republican Party. And is the Republican Party dead? Is it no longer a futuristic big idea party? We'll start to unravel that onion coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Did you know drag shows for kids are being normalized in Texas? Sexualizing Texas children is happening right now, and you can learn how it affects our state by going to TexasScorecard.com today. Get real news for real Texans.
Guys, the interview you're about to hear is an interview I had with David McIntosh. He's the president for the Club for Growth, and we were talking about the prospects of the Republicans basically doubling down on stupid. Oh, the Democrats have run roughshod over the country for the last 2 years. The Republicans just turned in the red fizzle. Let's continue to vote for the same guys who ushered in this failure. Let's continue to vote our leadership, these great and grand leaders who are leading the Republican Party down the path to being Democrats. So you're about ready to hear a very animated and kind of washing my hands of the whole thing, Chris Salcedo, because I'm sick and tired of these Republicans prioritizing their devotion to Democrats over their duty to we the people, to their voters. So this is how the whole interview went down. I think I might be done. So what's the point? Once there's a debate, somebody give me a call back. But there's no debate. Mitch McConnell wandering around the country supporting Liz Cheney, supporting Lisa Murkowski. Lisa Murkowski out there saying, I'm going to vote for a Democrat. Liz Cheney out there, Adam Crying Kinsinger out there supporting Democrats. He's like, well, if that's the Republican Party, screw it. What's the point of having Republicans on? And folks, just in case you're thinking, well, that's not all Republicans, Mr. Salcedo. Oh, really? Who are they going to vote for their leaders? They're going to vote for Mitch McConnell and they're going to vote for Kevin McCarthy. Win or lose, let's stick with the losers. Let's stick with the guys who are saying, yeah, the Democrats are our number one priority.
You said, referee, you'd be the front runner in New Hampshire if you decided to run for president. Well, maybe. I suppose. I don't know. You know, a lot of folks are talking about that. But look, I got a state to run. Unlike Congress, I don't get vacation. It's a 24/7 job, 365. Unlike Congress, I have to balance a budget in the next couple of months. Unlike Congress, I just have a lot of demands on me, and I love that. It's a hard job, but man, it is so fulfilling when you get stuff done. So I guess that leading by example, and given where New Hampshire is, we've been very successful in a lot of areas. I've got to make sure we continue to lead by example. So when folks come in here, they know there is a whole new standard of accountability in terms of what you're going to deliver as a public servant.
Chris Sununu, who is a moderate Republican in New Hampshire, and says there's no way that he can foresee actually supporting Donald Trump if he's the nominee in 2024. That's where your Republican Party is going, to a place where, yeah, you know what? The Republican Party must normalize the deviancy of Democrats. Let me bring on David McIntosh. He's the president of the Club for Growth and a former Indiana congressman. David served in the Reagan administration as a special assistant to Attorney General Edwin Meese and as a special assistant to President Reagan for domestic affairs back when Republicans actually opposed Democrats. Mr. McIntosh, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Chris.
Now, look, before we get into an article that was featured, by the way, on Newsmax about the Club for Growth's stance on Mitch McConnell, I want to get your just 30,000 feet up. Here we are almost a week out of the midterm elections. Give us your postmortem.
Yeah, so, and obviously really disappointing for Republicans. Polls going into the election showed the American people didn't like the Biden agenda. They were frustrated and hurting in their family budgets with inflation. They were feeling unsafe in their cities with all of the increase in crime and the liberal positions of defunding the police. They were frustrated with their schools, who were no longer really making the students, their children, very focused, but had been captured by unions who were making their interests above the kids. All of these things were issues where Republicans could and should have been able to bring voters together to oppose the Democrats. And I think there are two things that happened. One, you were just talking about, there was no unity with no unity at all with Republicans like Liz Cheney and Kinzinger and others going around campaigning for Democrats. And then second, as I point out in that article, Mitch McConnell just shot down any efforts by Republicans to form an agenda, a platform that would unify us, but also tell voters this is what Republicans would do that's different than what the Democrats in power are doing. And I think both of those are key to successes in the future. We have to be united. We need a leader who can unite us. And we need to stand for a platform that's very clear how it's different from what the Democrats are doing right now.
Well, that leads us to, it was featured on Newsmax, and as you mentioned, a Club for Growth article that said, Club for Growth says Mitch McConnell failed to hold Biden and Democrats accountable. And so he did. As a matter of fact, the message from Mitch McConnell was the greatest threat to America wasn't all the policies coming out of the White House, wasn't the policies coming out of the Congress. The biggest threat was Donald Trump, according to Mitch McConnell. And he put his money and his PAC's money where his heart was, into backing Republicans like Lisa Murkowski, who said, yep, we're voting Democrat in this election. Your thoughts?
I think at that point, What's happening is you've got Republicans who are afraid of their own agenda. They're simply there trying to preserve their power position. And at the same time, they're blocking the new generation of leadership who want to go out there, want to go to the voters and tell them, hey, we are not like these radical socialists that have captured the Democratic Party. We have a vision that will make America strong and great and allow our economy to prosper and include everybody in that prosperity. And we've got the ideas that do that, Chris. They're the fundamental ideas the Republican Party has always stood for freedom, for capitalism and free markets that will let us grow at the economy, for parents being in charge of their children and controlling their education, for strong support for police and law enforcement. Those are all issues that are, 90% issues in the Republican Party, and frankly, 90% issues among independents and more conservative Democrats. And so when we have leaders that believe in those issues, we'll go out and fight for them, then I think we can once again come back to winning elections.
Well, see, and then herein lies the problem. You've got Senator John Barrasso saying that they're going to force and not put a delay on voting for the Republicans' leader in the Senate. They're not going to allow anything to be evaluated or a postmortem like you and I are having to take place. And they're going to force this vote on Wednesday because and Mitch McConnell can't hang his hat on any success at countering the Biden agenda. Can he?
Well, let's put it this way, Chris. I think it's a different question when we're in the majority than when we're in the minority. And yes, I've criticized Mitch McConnell for not encouraging members to go out there and run on an agenda. I think that would have made him the majority leader. I think we would have won several of these close Senate races in doing that. We have to be fair. I do think Mitch is very good at standing up in opposition in the minority. Because he keeps all of the Republicans from voting for, say, the Biden tax bill. Now, some of the cost of that is the infrastructure bill, where he didn't decide to oppose Biden. So I think there needs to be a check to say, Mitch, we want you there as a tactician to make sure that we can stand up and stop the worst parts of what Biden's trying to do. But we need you to stand for our principles and not abandon them when it comes to spending.
David McIntosh, our guest, he's president for the Club for Growth. And David, let's just evaluate. Over the last 2 years, we have crime running rampant through the streets. We have 6 million illegal aliens across the border. And of course, not to mention the 108,000 deaths this year alone because of fentanyl, the sex trafficking, the gun trafficking. We've got a foreign policy that's in shambles right now. And the idea that there has been sufficient pushback from the likes of Mitch McConnell, again, proposing counter ideas to all of this misery, is laughable. There have been none. As a matter of fact, the most that, and this is a quote from Mitch McConnell, the most he could muster was, we're going to make Biden a moderate Democrat. That's Mitch McConnell's vision for America, having a moderate Democrat instead of opposing all of the harm and coming up with ideas and bold contrasts the way Reagan always prescribed that we do as conservatives in the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell was content to say, well, we're going to make him a moderate. And isn't that the McConnell record?
And Chris, how's that working out, right?
Yeah, how's that working out?
What we saw the day after the election was Biden announced he was going to double down on going after the oil and gas industry and marched himself over to Cairo, Egypt, where all of the international bureaucrats that want to control particularly American oil production and energy production and kowtow to them, bow down to their agenda and say, I'm going to further make it hard for Americans to have cheap gasoline. I'm going to put more restraints on natural gas and methane. It was classic where the lesson that Joe Biden took from Republican weakness, from McConnell weakness, was go further, go even further to the left, continue to implement this progressive agenda. Now, I think when you get a direct contrast in 2024, when we have a candidate that's going to stand up and say, no, this is what I would do, and it would be good for the American people, then I think the Democrats will have a big awakening, that is because they're not winning these elections because people embrace their agenda. Biden continues to be unpopular. They're winning the elections because Republicans failed to unite around an agenda.
Because there was no agenda, and that's my point. David
that's
McIntosh,
right.
He's the former president of, actually the current president of the Club for Growth, and former member of the Reagan administration. So let's talk about Kevin McCarthy, a man who exudes, a man who typifies uninspiring. This commitment to America was written by a bunch of mamby-pamby, politically correct navel-gazing lawyers with no passion whatsoever to stand up for American greatness. And this is what McCarthy's big step forward was. He didn't call to stop illegal immigration, for example, just called to try and stop illegal immigration. It was the biggest, saddest joke and the most uninspiring document from the most uninspiring proposed Speaker of the House that I have ever seen. The contract with America, it was not. And again, this is the other uninspiring side of the Republican Party on the House side. I mean, we can acknowledge that Kevin McCarthy inspires nobody, correct?
I think that's right, because he himself doesn't really believe in these ideas.
Nope.
He's seeking power. Yeah, you mentioned the contract with America. That's when I was elected in 94.
Yep.
And think of the contrast. Newt Gingrich and the Republicans had been in the minority for 40 years. They produced an agenda with specific legislation. And what they did was they called every one of the Republican candidates around the country to come together to sign our name behind the contract to promise the Americans, we'll do these. We can't guarantee we're going to pass them, but we can guarantee if you give us the majority, we will bring them for a vote and we will push to pass every one of them if we can and as many as possible. And then there was a wave, and they didn't just do it once. You know, Kevin produced his commitment in Washington by himself, went to Pennsylvania, talked about it once, and then you never heard about it again.
Right?
So it wasn't what he asked the candidates to run on. It wasn't what he spent his money in the super PAC he controls to advertise and to talk about. And as a result, it did not drive the agenda for this election.
No, and again, even if he had done all of those things, it was the most uninspiring, mamby-pamby, politically correct piece of crap that I think that has ever been put to paper next to the Communist Manifesto. I was critical of it when he rolled it out. And again, nobody believed in it, not even the Republican Party. And then let's talk about this aspect of Kevin McCarthy. What he was wandering around the country saying was he fervently believed that nobody, including Biden, should be impeached. I mean, this was the Republican message saying, yes, even though Biden was doing what the Democrats impeached Trump for, we have him on tape admitting he did this. We don't want to impeach him. Alejandro Mayorkas gets up there and lies about Latino border agents. Knowingly, we have the documentation saying he knowingly lied to besmirch their record. He lied to Congress about the security of the border. But I don't want to impeach him either. That was McCarthy's message coming into 2022. And talk about defeating the conservative movement and defeating anything that could have been inspiring. And I think this is what this boils down to, Mr. McIntosh, is that the conservative wants to vote for something and not against something. And there was nothing to vote for because of Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. Isn't that true?
I think that's right. And what you're pointing out is they didn't even, the American voters will stand up and fight against these radicals in the Biden administration. Now, maybe you didn't need to go all the way to impeachment, but there are easily recognized mechanisms. The American people know. We're going to investigate and prove that they're not doing their job. We're going to stop sending them money. We're not going to let them spend money or have the money to do things when they're working against the interests of the American public. We're going to hold them accountable. Any of those things would have signaled to voters, the new Republican Congress is going to be a check, a stop on the worst part of the Biden administration. And voters were desperately looking for that because they were hurting under the Biden administration. They know that one of the things that happens in Washington is they get cynical and they assume that the American voters don't actually understand what's going on. It's not true. They know they're hurting. They know that gas prices have gone up 50% since Biden was elected. They know that their cities aren't safe when criminals are let loose and nobody's fighting to help the police to be able to stand up that thin blue wall to keep people safe. American voters understand what's going on much more than the Washington politicians give them credit for. And so, as you pointed out, when Washington and Kevin come up with a document that isn't worth the paper it's written on, and
yep.
just sort of pablum that says words on the paper, not an agenda or an action pointing document. Americans look at that and says, you know, if I wanted to read fiction, I can go, you know, get a Kindle and read it on
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They're not interested in politicians feeding them baby food. They want politicians who will signal through their actions, we're going to fight for you.
Yep. If we wanted a fantasy, we'd just go see the new Black Panther movie, which I hear was pretty good. Last thing, Mr. McIntosh, is this. With notable exceptions, who I consider conservatives, Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan, Guy Rushenthaler, and others, with those few aside, I have been trying this out, and I want to run this by you. There is no Republican Party now. There are only varying degrees of Democrat. What do you think?
Well, and what we're seeing, and I, there are several others I would add to that. You know, Andy Biggs had a contract
yep.
that would have been a real contract, and
yep.
he was head of the House Freedom Caucus. And you get, and Mike Lee's a huge warrior for freedom and the Constitution. Yes, I think that's right. Republicans turn themselves into a pale image of Democrats. And it's always been my thesis that if that's what we present, the voters choose between an authentic Democrat that wants to build big government and give you money versus a pale image of a Democrat that says, well, I won't do quite as much of that, but I'll do it the same way. They're going to choose the authentic real thing.
Yeah.
But when you give them a choice, as you mentioned Ronald Reagan did, between freedom and they control their lives and their destinies, they get to keep more of the hard-earned money that they make. They get to be the head of the household and determine what's good for their children. When you present them with that clear, bold alternative, they choose freedom. They choose what's made America great in the past.
Yep.
And they get behind. They might not agree with everything that leader says, but they trust them that they'll fight for their interests.
Why choose the inauthentic Democrat like Mitt Romney or Mitch McConnell or Kevin McCarthy when you can have the real thing, says the American people? And they will bypass the fake Democrat, which is calling themselves the Republicans nowadays. David McIntosh, everybody. He is the president of the Club for Growth. Sir, appreciate the visit.
Great to be with you, Chris. Keep out. We need voices like you speaking about liberty and freedom and the greatness of our country.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, check out two websites, if you will. The first one is TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. All the news that impacts Texas. If it impacts Texas, it impacts the United States. And also go to ChrisSalcedo.com. You can drop me an email, drop me a voicemail, book me for a speech if you want to, and also track down the Chris Salcedo shows. On AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, there's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And also on Newsmax TV every afternoon, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock until 5 Eastern. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government. Or rather, it's measured by how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we, the people. See ya.
Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.
If you need to know the law to advance your career in the world of risk management, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, our Master of Legal Studies in Risk Management is designed to help non-lawyers like you navigate the complex legal and compliance issues involved in fiduciary management, corporate governance, and other heavily regulated industries. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.